Erev Tov, we continue in the Rambam. We're in section one, Perek Samachay. And we've already discussed a lot of things that Hashem, we can't ascribe to Him. And we've explained the name of Hashem. And if you recall, a number of chapters ago, we said we can create ideas without language. If you remember, we talked about this. And we say that God is not linguistic, which means God doesn't speak like we speak. Why? Because when we speak, we already are limiting what's coming out of us. Okay? And that can't be. So we try to understand whenever the Torah says God speaks, what does that mean? And since God cannot communicate using language, because that would be a diminishment of Hashem. That means He's got a human quality. So He can't do that. But still, the Torah says He speaks. He communicates.
But He did something at Sinai.
So how do we understand what communication is? That is the idea. So the Rambam is going to start off on page Kufres. He says, Eini sover achareishi gata ledargazu. I don't have to feel, you know, any problem. Once you've gotten to such a level, we're so far in the book. Shisames Eschel, it's true to you. You understand. Shisalei Motzui Vlomitzius, that Hashem is a Motzui, but not a Mitzius. Ve'echad, and He's one. Ve'lo ba'achtus, but He's not a unity. We've already explained this idea that we says, this isn't even saying that something exists or something has existence. Or if something is one, or it's a unity.
Yeah, unity.
And if you look at this sheet we have, we already read this once. Maybe we could read it again. This is from the encyclopedia, Stanford. Whatever. Distinction between essence and existence. So the analysis of being reveals two meanings of existence. The first affirms or establishes the existence of something. The second expresses, without affirming its existence, the reality by virtue of which something is what it is, namely its essence. If you recall, I said that Yossi Michalowicz, I have existence, right? But if I was never born, there would have been a concept of Yossi Michalowicz, and that would have been the essence. In other words, there can be a Yossi Michalowicz, it's possible, but it could be I don't come into being, right? So you have the essence, but not necessarily the existence. The existence means that things happen to make me exist. That's existence. Mm-hmm. But you can exist without having to have existence, okay? There is a concept. The concept of Yossi Michalowicz, everything that I ever could do in my life, right, is a concept that exists. Mm-hmm. It exists, but doesn't have to happen. When I'm here, I have existence, and there are factors beyond me that brought my existence into being. Mm-hmm. So when we talk, and so there's like the essence of Yossi Michalowicz, that is the Matsui, even though, but I don't have to necessarily exist.
For that, the essence always have to come before.
For that essence, yes, yes. Or the existence, where, okay, the theoretical became real, but there had to be factors that brought that to be, and that means I'm lacking because I didn't have those factors, I could not be. Right. So when we say, God is a Matsui, that means the essence. It's, in English, it's going to be the same words. Hashem exists, but not with existence. Because existence means that you have existence. There's factors that make you exist,
right.
But the essence of existing, right, does not require existence. All right, so that's what Hashem has. Okay, that's right. The first, let's continue, is what Avicenna calls the existence related to the fact that something is established. Right? The second identifies the particular or proper existence of the thing. As regards the latter, one is either not required to know whether the thing is or not existent, or else one ignores the whole question. You don't even have to see it. In the first sense, though, then the existent or existing thing stands for what is established or realized and affirms that something exists, right? In the second sense, which is expressed by proper existence, what is referred to is the reality, the nature, the essence, or according to Avicenna's technical terminology, quiddity. I have no idea what that means, or thingness of the thing.
Thingness.
There's no existential judgment. Here, no existential judgment is implied. One does not know if the thing exists or not. It just is a concept. It's an essence, okay? What is expressed is an intentional note independent of its existence, which necessarily accompanies it once it gets into existence. All right? You understand the idea. There's the essence. I think the idea, Yossi Machalz has an essence. Even if I don't exist, you could imagine what that
would be. Concept.
And it's a real concept.
Yeah.
Although there's nothing to touch. So Hashem is that real concept. And that means he exists, but not that people brought it into existence. That's the point. Okay. And he says the same thing regarding oneness. Okay. You know, you could say there's a oneness to Hashem, which means he's not two, he's not anything else. But to say that he is one, he's been made into one. So again, there's the concept of a perfect oneness, which we really can't understand what a perfect oneness is. And then there is the being one, that you've been made into a one. So that's, I don't want to get over this, but we already went through this. So once you know this, then it's obvious that God can't speak. That's what he's going to say next. So there's no need now. No need for me to prove to you the negative concept that there is no speech with Hashem, because he's refuting certain philosophers. I don't know, Logos, I don't know what his name is. But they think, no, that speech came before. And with speech, the speech created the world. No. That's not what happened. We do not attribute any divinity to the fact that there's actual speech with God. There's no such thing as actual speech with God. Why? Because that means God is bound by language, right? Language, by definition, defines things. And God cannot be defined by language. What does your language say about you when you talk? I'm thinking about something.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking about something that yesterday I wasn't thinking about. And I'm thinking about it. I'm trying to find a way to express it. Do you know all the details that are involved in doing that? There's no oneness over there.
No.
There's an additional to what God is that whole capacity. So that's not what goes on with God. It's all one thing from God. So then where does the language come from? Oh, that's a creation. God can create language. Just like he creates the world, he can create language. And that's what he's going to say. Okay, and especially he says, "Ubefrat im haskama." Someone said, "Everyone agrees that Torah brew, that God created the Torah, and that is source number one on the sheet, the Gemara in Shabbos, that Rabbi Yeshua Ben Lehi said when Moshe went up above, the angel said to Hashem, 'God, what is a human being doing here?' Hashem says, 'Receive the Torah.' They said, 'Such a precious treasure that's been hidden for 974 generations before the creation of the world, you want to give to man?'" So what does that mean? They're saying God created the Torah. Now, wait a minute. God created the Torah before he created the world. And the world is created from the Torah. So wait a minute. But Torah is a language. It's a construct. But Hashem doesn't need it. Okay, and more than that, the Torah is not eternal. It's eternal in this world, but that's only for 6,000 years. It's not eternal. When Mashiach comes, we're not going to have this Torah, we're going to have another Torah. So it's a created thing by Hashem, but not something that God was bound by, that language. That phony philosopher says there's an idea of language, and God uses the language that exists, because language came before the world. This is crazy. No. Just like Hashem, if Hashem creates something, does that mean it's something addition to him? No. His power is able to create things. So if he can create a world, and that doesn't take away from his supreme unity, well, of course, you have to get into Tzimtzum and things like that. But so he can certainly create a Torah. So, and the Torah has language. That's all. But it's not expressing God's thoughts. You know, that's the thing. God doesn't work that way. Well, if we want to write a Torah, we have to think, break things down, put it down on paper. God doesn't have to do any of that stuff. God just says, there it is. There it is. I've created a language. I've created all that. So that's not who he is at all.
But don't we also say that with Torah, it's like the Torah was Reishis, base Reishis, Yisrael, and Torah. Torah was created before the creation.
Yes.
And then the Torah that he actually comes down to this world of Asiya is the sex tzimtzum that have occurred.
Yeah, but that all existed before this world.
Yeah, but this Torah is very physical here. If you take it up to the next world or even up to
Asiya. So fine, but it's all created by Hashem.
Right.
Every aspect in the metaphysical world is also creation.
100%.
Just you don't have the tools to see it. But it's there. It's a creation, the same thing. So that Torah and all the levels that Torah has was all created before the world came into being. It's a creation of God. Okay. So what does it mean? Therefore, kavana b'kach, ki dibra hamiyuchas lo nivra, that we talk about speech when it's attributed to creation. We relate it to that speech that Moshe hears. So Hashem baro v'chach, Hashem created and made it new. K'moshe baro kol b'riyas was, like he created all the creatures that knew. And v'yavov nevuah, and he brings it dvarim in nevuah, dvarim rabim, lots of words of prophecy. Okay, he's going to explain this more in a moment. But v'eina kavonaka, and the intention here is not we're using these expressions, we're just using it the way people will use it. And now we have to say there are certain thoughts that of intellect that the prophets are able to understand. Why? Because Hashem spoke to them and they were able to comprehend it. What's the whole point? And what's the whole point of Hashem saying Hashem spoke to the Navi? Not like I speak to you. So why do we have to say Hashem spoke to Navi? The main thing is to say that everything, whatever the prophets relate to us, they're from Hashem. Lo mehechra didris, didn't come from their own minds. So whenever it says Hashem tells the Navi, forget about like I'm talking to you. It's just saying that when the Navi is giving over the message, he didn't think of it himself. It came from Hashem. That's all. Not that Hashem actually physically said it to the Navi, but it came. So why would he even say it at all? Just say the Navi says. The answer is maybe the Navi made it up himself. Why do we need that? To know that Moshe didn't say it himself. But it's not that Hashem actually spoke to him. So how did Moshe get the information? We'll have to know what the dibur means. We have to know what that means. But the whole point is just to say they didn't make it up themselves. That's all. Now he's going to give us the three translations of speech and which ones can apply to Hashem. Ukvar hiskarnu la'el Inyan said, I already mentioned this before. My Torah's parent said, the point of this chapter is, Kizeha Dibur Amira. We have the two expressions of Dibur and Amira. Lashon Meshutav. It's a metaphor. The Nemrelov, you give three translations for saying or speaking. Number one is the simple one. Hadibur Belashon, speaking with your tongue. Kigon Amru Moshe Yidaber. Moshe spoke. Good. Or Vayomer Paro, and Paro said. So that speech, your tongue is able to create sounds that have words that come from your mind. That speech, that absolutely has nothing to do with God.
No.
Out. Okay. Number two, could be another thing. Vayomer could be speaking al inyan hamitzar b'sevel, something you're thinking about without saying. The Torah will use speaking. B'li shidubar, without saying any words. For example, it says, it's Koheles, v'amarti ani b'libi, I said in my heart. That means I thought. Doesn't mean I said in my heart.
Yeah.
Or v'dibarti b'libi, I spoke in my heart. Or v'libcha yidabir, or your heart speaks. Or l'cha amar libi, to you my heart says. Or v'yomer Esav b'libo, Esav said in his heart. Or we have in the Megillah, Haman said in his heart. That's, you didn't say anything, but really in your mind, you're thinking it, so you're talking to yourself in your mind, but nobody's hearing that. This can also not be Hashem. Because Hashem doesn't have parts to move from thinking to making words. So that those two are out, not for Hashem at all. The third one is the one we can attribute to Hashem. The third one, Vayomer Gam Al Haratzon, is a desire. Such as when we talked about, and that's going to be source number 6. V'yashvu v'yishbi b'nov. There's a fellow yishbi in Nov. Asher blah, 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 blah. And at the end of the post, it says, v'yomer, and he said, l'hakos is David. He said to hit David. Doesn't mean he said. He wanted to hit David. He didn't say anything. He had a desire. When you have a desire, it's like you're speaking in your mind. I want to do something. We could use the word vayomer for that too. Kilo amar, as if it says, v'ratzel harge, he wanted to kill him. Klomar zimum lo, he was planning on it. Halargenia to amar, or you have another pasuk. Are you saying to kill me? Meaning, do you want to kill me? Perusha v'yomer ha'im ritzayn kolargen, do you want to kill me? Or let's say, what about the people who want to stone Moshe? Vayomer kol ha'eda, the whole congregation said, Lirgom osam baravonim, to stone them. They said to stone him. They didn't say to stone him. They wanted to stone him. Vegam ele rabin. There's a lot of examples of that. Okay, now we've got the three definitions. Which one can apply to God? Only the last one, and it can be split up into two parts. The last one can be split up into two parts. Vare, here's the critical line. Kol amira v'dibur shenemru miyuchasim l'Hashem. Any statement or speech that was said in regard to Hashem, it's from the two last one. He doesn't mean the second and third. He means in the third, you could splice it up into two points. Klomar, Shehem o kinui l'ratzon l'chayv. It's like a nickname for a desire. Because even wanting, you got to say Hashem's wanting is Hashem. But for our understanding, it's like wanting. Okay? Okinu, or it's an expression, something that's understood from Hashem, which is prophecy. In other words, Hashem was able to communicate, we can call it telepathy or whatever, his message that he wanted to say, it just went into the Navi. That's it. He created that ability to go into the Navi.
What do we call it that you use now for your computer? When you take from your iPad to the computer.
Oh, syncing.
No, you have something drop. What's it called?
Airdrop.
Yeah.
It's so an airdrop.
Right,
he did an airdrop.
Yeah, that's what he did.
It was an action. Hashem did something.
And the whole package came
down. He took the information from Hashem and airdropped it into the Navi. Okay. Bein Shinoda. Now, he says something interesting. It could be Shinoda b'kol nivra, could be God created a voice.
Right.
Not his voice. He created a voice to speak to the Navi. O Shinoda b'derech midarche hanavua, shenivar. Or they'll get it through prophecy, as I will explain what that is. But lo shu yisala diber ba'osav kol, God did not speak with words or with a voice. Lo shu yisala bal nefesh, and God is not a person with a soul, shechako in yonim benavsha, that get etched into his essence concepts, v'yibat smusa inos, and it's a concept that's beyond what he is. By us, it's beyond. We think about something we never thought about before. Something new comes into us. We change. God can't think about anything new and then speak about that. El hakesher asam in yonim bo, v'yachsam alav ki yachas kolos. But it's to us, it relates to Like anything Hashem does, Hashem can do things. So it's like something he does. But when we say Hashem wanted, that's just a homonym. In other words, Hashem's wanting is not our wanting. All right? He has a will, and the will materializes. That's it. Okay? The Gamal Derech Hadimu, it's a metaphor, as we say many times. Okay? Shalo Yavin Ha'adam, because by a person, listen, a person doesn't know how to do something. So he could have, I'll just say it outside. A person can have a desire, but then he has to act on the desire.
Right, 100%.
I think I want to build a house. Okay, 3 years later, you have a house. Hashem is one thing.
His rights and his actions.
He wants it and it is. That's it. But we break it down in a way to show that he wants. His will gets done immediately, and that's it. So, therefore, the main point that Rambam is saying, Hashem does not communicate with language, but he communicates with his will. Now, if you look at Source 9, and he says this, he attributes this to other previous Rishonim, Gaonim, Rav Sadia Gaon, look at Source number 9, the classic, Vayomer Elokim, and Hashem said. Now, one of the proofs that Rambam brings, you got to say, that when Hashem speaks, he doesn't speak like we speak. Because when Hashem, Vayomer Hashem Yehi Or, who's he speaking to?
There weren't a lot of people.
There's nobody there.
There's a lot of people.
Clearly, he didn't have to speak. So what is Vayomer? So says Rav Sadia Gaon Yehi Or, Ratza Hashem, Hashem wanted. Vayomer Elokim Ratza Hashem Shehi Or. He wanted that there should be light. And below in 6, it says that's Eben Ezra. Says the same thing. Every Vayomer, then he quotes the Rambam in Meir Devuchim that's right over here. So whenever it says Omar, it's expressing Hashem's desire. But even that is a metaphor, because Hashem doesn't desire like we desire. It's his will. He wills it, and it happens. Or just like speech is, it's what's inside? I don't know till you speak. So Hashem, what was, so to speak, inside? Hashem wanted there to be a world. So until he revealed the world, it's revealing the will. That's what it is. Revealing the will. That's what speech is. But that doesn't, Hashem doesn't have to think about it. It's just
when Hashem speaks to Moshe. Speaks to Aaron.
Yeah. So again, it doesn't have to mean he spoke to them.
He can't.
You could say he created sound waves. He created sound waves. Right?
Or he just placed the idea in their mind.
And they could hear the sound waves.
Right.
Or he could just make, mentally, they perceive what he is saying.
Right.
So there's a lot of, and he'll, Rambam in this, later on in the book, we'll talk exactly what happened when he spoke to the Jews at Har Sinai, what that is. And there's a lot of discussion exactly what happened. Some say that Hashem, they really heard Hashem. So what does that mean, they really heard Hashem? That's a big question.
Die.
But clearly, it's no such thing as Hashem talking the way I'm talking to you.
No.
Even though it says Hashem speaks to Moshe face to face, but Rady said, what does that mean? Face to face means no intermediary.
Right.
And now the talking is, Hashem's revealing his will to Moshe. The will is always there. He's just enabling Moshe to sense that will. Is that through a created speech, or just in his mind, the message comes in? And for Moshe, it was clear.
Mm-hmm.
It was clear how the message came into him, as if Hashem was speaking to him. All right, that's the main idea over here. Okay, good place to stop.
Sorry.
And.